satisfied with our nature and abilities. Again, our world today is you can be anyone and you can be anything. There's a lot of lifestyle gurus and business gurus who are making a fortune at convincing everyone that they can do anything that they want to do and they can be anyone that they can be. But it's not true. You can't. So anyone here can take music lessons. But not everyone here is going to become either on one side Chopin or on another side Jayadeva Das. So you're not going to become a musician. You'll be able to play music, but playing music and being a musician are two different things. All the kids sit and they draw and they make all kinds of paintings. But that doesn't mean they're going to become Rembrandts. It doesn't matter how many courses they go, and they can go to the fine arts college downtown. They're still not going to become a Rembrandt. And they can study until the cows come home. But it's not going to happen. Because either you've got it, either you have that talent, either you have that nature, or you don't. So being satisfied with what we are. There was the example of Sridham, the associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who just made a living out of selling banana leaves. His priority was Krishna consciousness, was chanting Hare Krishna, serving the Ganga, and getting the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he would come by. And he was satisfied with that. He wasn't trying to... And that's a pretty simple job. You grow banana trees. Of course, he would also sell bananas and then banana flour because it makes wonderful sabji. And also, even from the stem, banana trees are like... They're like cows. Everything. It's like milk. I mean, like cows, like milk. You make so many things out of milk. So from banana trees, you can have so many different types of wonderful things. Bengalis know about that. They're particularly expert at it. And he was satisfied. He wasn't trying to become a king. He wasn't trying to compete with Vasudev Datta, who was very wealthy. That's all I'm doing. I sell. But being satisfied with who you are and what you are and what you can achieve in the little time that we have to maintain ourselves, because our main priority is Krishna consciousness. And the sixth one is being satisfied with the standards of Vedic tradition. I'll just touch on this point, but we live in a world, we live in what's called the postmodern world, it's beyond the modern world, but we still use this concept of modernity. And modernity has a philosophy, everything has a philosophy. And the concept of modern is something that you've all come across and also practiced and said, either knowingly or unknowingly, is that modernity means that we're making progress. We're progressing. You can see how we progressed in terms of travel, how we've progressed in terms of technology. We're able to fly in airplanes. So modernity means that the present is a real improvement on the past. We've really improved on the past, and the future is going to be even better than the present. So we're really going to a future where no one's going to have to work. Computers and robots are going to be doing all our work. We're just going to be able to live a life of enjoyment, and it's going to be like that for everyone. And if we get too crowded on this planet, we'll just go to the moon, or now they're experimenting about Mars. We'll go to Mars and we'll populate there, and we'll just enjoy. And this is progress. But the reality or the statistics of progress is that with all of this quicker travel, ability to be able to communicate with anyone just at a drop of a hat, drop of a pin, people aren't becoming happier. But rather the quality of life, the quality of inner life is decreasing. even though we may say that we're achieving certain things that were unachievable, sometimes even inconceivable before. But nonetheless, we are not becoming happier people, but rather we're becoming more stressed out. We have more stress-related diseases, and although our medical advancement is really, you could say, excellent, but there's no room in our hospitals for all the sick people, despite the fact that so many medical advancement is taking place. So, but we, namely devotees, and not only just devotees, but there are other class of traditionalists. They're not people who are looking to this concept of the dream, that progress is going towards some dream, which is a dream. It never becomes reality. That they're going into this direction of a dream, but we're actually fixed in the past. So modernity means looking to the future, and tradition means looking to the past, not past in terms of time or chronology, but looking to a long-standing tradition, which is absolute, perfect, and no need to change. And anyone who's preached comes across this question from people, well, why are you quoting from some Bhagavad Gita that's 5,000 years old? You know, we're in modern times. This is not relevant to us anymore. But our point is, no, it's very relevant. Why is it relevant? Because it's the truth. And therefore it doesn't change. It's not this fleeting or illusory ideology that's constantly changing, and it's changing in all branches everywhere. We see that in ethics, is constantly changing. The principles of religion are constantly changing, just like the Pope just declared that someone, God made somebody a homosexual. That, in other words, it's God who decides what our orientation is, or that our knowledge of the world is constantly changing. First, we thought that matter is made up of five different elements. Now we think that matter is made up of so many other, I don't know how many elements there are now, 108, 110, and that those are made up of electrons and atoms, but now we see that there are actually, there's quarks, and then there's other things, and everything's always changing. Our concept of the world is always changing, but traditionalist concept never changes. And are we satisfied with that? So, when I bring up this concept of Varnashram, people say, that's not relevant. Is it relevant or isn't? Why is it not relevant? Well, because we're living in the modern day. We're different people now. So we have to have some type of other social structure. What's our social structure? Well, the one that we're living in. That's more relevant. That's what people, where you have gender equality, where you have egalitarianism, where you have so many other things, yeah, we need to fit into that. And then that's a real dangerous situation. Are we really giving up what our tradition and values are? Because this society is not just a social structure, everything has a philosophy behind it. And the ultimate philosophy behind it is atheism and hedonism. So, are we satisfied with being part of a tradition? And yes, that Varnashram, and that you can read in the seventh canto, that Narada explains how in different ages also the process of Varnashram changes, but Chatur Varnam Ashristam doesn't. But acting according to your nature and your inherent qualities doesn't change. Those become details change, but principles remain the same. So being satisfied with Vedic tradition, and that is our tradition. Krishna talks about being satisfied with the process of self-realization. Because sometimes we see that, you know, devotees go outside of, for instance, our Krishna consciousness movement or what Srila Prabhupada gave us because they're not satisfied that someone else is giving more. And being satisfied with the process of self-realization as a whole. So Krishna is speaking here in the Bhagavad Gita, and just a translation.
For one who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one of self-realization, and who is satisfied in the self only, fully satiated, for him there is no duty.
So santushta, this is the word, this is, and it's being repeated here over again. Just be satisfied with the process of devotional service. Be satisfied with the results that are coming, as long as you're performing it right. Which I should qualify, because from another point of view, devotees are never satisfied with either their level of advancement, or even devotees are never really satisfied. The nature of bhakti is such that a devotee never thinks that they've got enough. Okay, now I've got enough of serving Krishna. And that's how the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita ends. Narada Muni is given a benediction. Krishna says, ask for blessings. So he says, please bless your devotees so that they're never satisfied with the sweet nectar of your devotional service. And Krishna says, why did you ask that? That's the way bhakti is. That's what bhakti already is. That's the inherent nature of bhakti, is that no matter how much you get of it, you're never satisfied with it. But back to here, but in another sense, we're satisfied with bhakti. We don't want jnana, we don't want karma, we don't want other things. We're just satisfied being servants of Krishna, or being practicing servants, practicing learning how to be pure devotees of Krishna. Satisfied by what we need. Krishna also says,
he who is satisfied with gain, which comes of its own accord.
Very interesting, and we don't have really time to get into it in long detail, but with gain which comes of its own accord. In other words, things that come without too much work. And I tried just in the earlier prioritizing our needs in life, starting with spiritual life, personal life, family life, and then work, that's how things come of their own accord, what comes of its own accord. That then becomes our need. And this is more or less a definition of the Isha Upanishad's quota. So, but I'd like to go a little further to the following verses. And as I mentioned before, we're just investigating a little detail in what is it that we need. This being satisfied with what you need, the satisfaction of what a person needs. And the following verses emphasize that. And from that emphasis, I consider that Narada Muni weighs this as being a more fundamental and essential thing, is that if you're satisfied with your material necessities, because that's what's being emphasized over here, then you can practice a healthy spiritual life and you can enter into the Varnashram institution peacefully. We'll leave the verses for now, but let's have the translation.
Even if a man is poor, he should not endeavor to improve his economic condition just to maintain his body and soul together, or to become a famous religionist. Just as a great python, although lying in one place, not endeavoring for its livelihood, gets the food it needs to maintain body and soul, one who is desireless also obtains his livelihood without endeavor.
Anyway, this python philosophy is pretty extreme. In other words, all right, we're all sitting here, everyone just stay here and chant japa, and what comes your way, that's all we're going to take. So it's certainly a real far end of the spectrum of what full dependence on Krishna means. But if we use our intelligence, then knowing this proper balance of appreciating what it is that we actually really need, not over-endeavoring, that phrase over-endeavor that we use, that in itself will help us not endeavor to improve his economic condition. So what will come of its own accord? Of its own accord being our karma. What will our karma bring us? And different devotees here have different karmas. So what will our karma bring us if we live a properly balanced life? And let's just continue.
One who is content and satisfied and who links his activities with the Supreme Personality of Godhead residing in everyone's heart enjoys transcendental happiness without endeavoring for his livelihood. Where is such happiness for a materialistic man who is impelled by lust and greed and who therefore wanders in all directions with a desire to accumulate wealth?
So here we already hear about happiness, because earlier the definition of happiness, even dictionary definition, of satisfaction, was connected to a type of happiness that one gets from fulfilling one's goals. But here Narada Muni says, you're going to actually get that happiness just by learning how to be self-satisfied. And of course, that's what that other, what I call the Mula Shloka here, of these verses about the wearing the shoes on your foot. So Narada is here explains that a person's already satisfied. There's a connection between being satisfied with your needs and your ability to engage in devotional service and to actually appreciate the Supreme Lord. So you can just imagine, everyone has that experience of really getting into this hamster's wheel of really spinning to try and get so many things in life, and we get into a very passionate mode, and that passionate mode makes it very difficult for us to actually be thinking about and concentrating the spiritual life. Even it's you just after a whole day of working out there in the world outside to just sit down and peacefully chant Hare Krishna, but the mind's spinning with so many things, so many problems, so many challenges, disappointments that came up. So, but rather one needs to avoid these as much as possible, and as much as possible is a phrase that Srila Prabhupada would use, and we have to avoid falling into the second category, because here is a traditional Shastric thing where there's a comparison being made. Here's the comparison of the person who's living within his needs, and this is the result of someone who's living beyond their needs and who's driven by this greed. Mm-hmm. Next one. Whoops. Yes, and here comes our Siddhanta verse, which this is the second time you're seeing this, but we'll read it out loud.
For a person who has suitable shoes on his feet, there is no danger even when he walks on pebbles and thorns. For him, everything is auspicious. Similarly, for one who is always self-satisfied, there is no distress. Indeed, he feels happiness everywhere.
So how do we cultivate, because I mentioned this point about cultivating satisfaction, and it's the same way that we cultivate anything. We have to have knowledge. We have to be thoughtful. I tried for this thing. It didn't come through. Now, should I really endeavor for it harder in order to get it? Or is this actually Krishna telling me that I don't necessarily need whatever it is that I was striving for? It may be a bigger house, it may be a car, it may even be a trip to going to the dam, going to India. Do I need it or not? And if I strive harder, what will I be compromising? Maybe I should take some guidance from some friends, see what they think. So sattvam sanjayate jnanam, the principle of sattva gun, of thoughtfulness, is knowledge to analyze things and then ultimately make a decision. And we have to make decisions. So here is this protective, prophylactic nature of satisfaction, that if we can cultivate this satisfaction and learn to say, no, that's all right. I'm satisfied with what we have. I don't want to over-endeavor. This is enough. This is okay. Then we become actually protected. We protect ourselves from many disappointments, because you're not going to get everything you want in the world anyway. And we're going to protect ourselves from the disappointment of wasting time, which is an invaluable commodity. You can't get it back with anything. You can't purchase time. And rather that we're putting our time to best use. And then he goes on to the next verse. He says,
"My dear King, a self-satisfied person can be happy even with only drinking water. However, one who is driven by the senses, especially by the tongue and genitals, must accept the position of a household dog to satisfy his senses."
So often Shastra explains things in extreme. We don't have to be satisfied with just, or we're not necessarily going to be in a position with being satisfied with just drinking water, but who knows, you may be. If all of a sudden, you know, you're stranded in the desert and you have nothing to eat or drink, you'll be happy just drinking water. It'll be a feast just to be able to get our hands on it. But if even if there's little, even if there's less than what we would really like, but still, to learn to adjust to that, because this process of satisfaction is connected to the process of surrender. That we do believe that Krishna is arranging our lives, organizing our lives. So it's connected to Sharanagati, yes. We're dependent on Krishna. These are two of these factors, that Krishna is protecting me and Krishna is providing for my needs. So should I be dissatisfied with what Krishna is giving? Should I be pleading for Krishna, "Oh, please, Krishna, please give me more. Please let me, you know, get this job interview so that I get this raise," and so on? Should I really be asking Krishna for these things? Or just leave it to him? Yoga kshema bahami aham. He's going to give me what I need anyway. Why do I bother praying to Krishna for these things? And why should I have these expectations? So you can see it's a material quality satisfaction. It's not a spiritual quality. But nonetheless, that material quality is conducive to our practice of Krishna consciousness and to learning dependence on Krishna. And there's this direct correlation of the satisfaction and dependence on Krishna. And learning dependence on Krishna is the process of surrender. We may say just surrender, Prabhu, but surrender isn't something that you just do just like that. Surrender is itself a process. So how do we learn how to surrender? And now the verses continue, but Narada now talks about what happens if you're not satisfied.
"Because of greed for the sake of the senses, the spiritual strength, education, austerity, and reputation of a devotee or brahmana who is not self-satisfied dwindle, and his knowledge gradually vanishes."
Very interesting, isn't it? So look, it says spiritual strength, your education, your austerity, your reputation of a devotee, even reputation, it just gradually dwindles and vanishes. So that's why in the beginning I said that this is sort of a root quality, something that we really need to control and keep our hands on, because otherwise we will suffer spiritually. We're conditioned souls. So sadhaka means a conditioned soul, or at least sadhaka who is still a practicing devotee and not sadhaka who's gone beyond the modes of material nature. So we're dependent on favorable conditions. And much as we may not like it, learning this process of being satisfied is a favorable psychology, a favorable frame of mind for the practicing devotee. And it helps build these characteristics, help build our spiritual strength, helps us get our spiritual education. It in itself is an austerity. It's an austerity, saying no. And then interestingly, reputation. In other words, how do others? No one's gained a good reputation by being greedy. But a lot of wonderful sages and Vaishnavas have become very famous just because They just gave everything. Either like Maharaj Shibi, they just gave everything they had, even their bodies, or they were just satisfied completely depending on Krishna, as is the case of Sudama Vipra.
The strong bodily desires and needs of a person disturbed by hunger and thirst are certainly satisfied when he eats. Similarly, if one becomes very angry, that anger is satisfied by chastisement and its reaction. But as for greed, even if a greedy person has conquered all the directions of the world, or who has enjoyed everything in the world, still he will not be satisfied.
Greedy person, even if he gets the whole world, will never be satisfied. Prahlad Maharaj tells that to Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu, although he had so much, he still wasn't satisfied. He had the universe, and it still wasn't enough. So it's something that, and the example is that if you pour fuel on a fire, it just keeps burning brighter and brighter and brighter. In the beginning, it may appear to douse it a little, but then after, it'll just be even more aggravated than before. So the consequence of, and it's interesting, these examples that, all right, even the bodily desires, you could say even lust, it can be satisfied, even anger can be satisfied, but greed can never be satisfied. And not this lack of satisfaction, this asantushta, or santushta meaning satisfaction, asantushta, this is driven by this greed, and it leads to greed, and that greed becomes the cause of our perishing. So, concluding.
O King Yudhisthira, many persons with varied experience, many legal advisors, many learned scholars, and many persons eligible to become presidents of learned assemblies fall down into hellish life because of not being satisfied with their positions.
So here Narad is telling Yudhisthira Maharaj that be careful, be satisfied with what you have, and he's giving an example that many people fell prey to this greediness, this dissatisfaction, and we're talking about in cultures that don't have the same type of temptations that we do, because we're driving out of the manor, and as soon as you drive out the manor, there's this billboard and that billboard, and if you turn on your TV or you turn on your computer, everyone's trying to make you greedy. Everyone's trying to actually convince us that we need more, and is fueling dissatisfaction. And in this atmosphere, we're supposed to be self-satisfied. Therefore, we have to be very careful and protect our situation. So as I mentioned here, these were the six types of satisfaction, and we concentrated on this, what the Bhagavatam emphasizes, living by what we need. And Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita gives us a real rule of thumb.
Be satisfied with anything and everything.
Pretty simple. So he says, santushto jena kena chit. Just be satisfied with what you have. So we can go through different types of things, circumstances we should be satisfied with, but we should just learn this process of satisfaction. And once again, if we do...
For a person who has suitable shoes on his feet, there is no danger, even when he walks on pebbles and thorns. For him, everything is auspicious. Similarly, for one who is always self-satisfied, there is no distress. Indeed, he feels happiness everywhere.
Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. We went a little over time, and it's 1:45, and I have to, I'm going to go down to South London for in the afternoon. So I'll just leave that topic with you as a thought for the day about this process of cultivating satisfaction. And of course, there's these other 21 qualities which are also there, the other 20 qualities that also could be similarly analyzed, and referenced by quotes from the Bhagavatam, qualities that, like honesty, simplicity, and so on, that we need to cultivate in order to really make sure that we have the round, the proper groundwork for practicing Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hare Hare.
Jai.